Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 1st, 2021. Coming up this hour,
stocks rally and bond markets steady as we kick off a new month.
The U.S. starts shipping Johnson & Johnson's one-shot vaccine.
A minimum wage hike gets thrown out of the COVID relief package.
Walmart poaches Goldman executives as it branches into banking.
And Jane Fraser takes the helm as CEO at Citigroup.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he will cooperate with a sexual harassment investigation against him, plus violent unrest continues in Myanmar. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Another win for the Knicks. They moved over 500. The Islanders won. The Rangers and Devils both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers Stock Yield Enhancement Program. Earn extra income on the fully paid shares of stock in your brokerage account. Open an Interactive Brokers account today and learn more at ibkr.com/syep.
And U.S. futures are climbing this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 42 points. Dow futures up 322. NASDAQ futures up 184. The 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.43%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. And NYMEX crude oil up 1.33%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a third vaccine to fight the pandemic officially coming online. The Biden administration started shipping almost 4 million doses of Johnson & Johnson shot after the CDC formally recommended it for adults. The one-shot vaccine was found to have a lower efficacy rate than other shots available, but Dr. Anthony Fauci says Americans should not pick and choose when it comes to a vaccine.
People need to get vaccinated as quickly and as expeditiously as possible, and if I would go to a place where they had J&J, I would have no hesitancy whatsoever to take it.
Fauci made the comments on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. So far, the U.S. has administered more than 76 million doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Meantime, President Joe Biden is calling on the Senate to quickly approve his coronavirus relief package, which passed the House over the weekend.
With their vote, we're one step closer to vaccinating the nation. We are one step closer to putting $1,400 in the pockets of Americans. We're one step closer to extending unemployment benefits for millions of Americans who are shortly going to lose them.
No Republican in the House voted for the package, and no GOP senators are expected to do so either.
At the same time, it looks like a key provision will not make its way into the stimulus package. Amy Morris has that story from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The $1.9 trillion stimulus measure passed the House on Saturday, but raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour was not included. The plan was to impose tax penalties on any big company that pays low wages, but it became clear that getting Democrats to agree on the language would delay passage of the relief plan and risk missing that March 14th deadline for extending unemployment benefits. The Democrats will try to find another way to boost the minimum wage. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. In other news, the White House is moving to put semiconductors, artificial intelligence, and next-generation networks at the heart of its strategy toward Asia. The new framing with China has been given added urgency by the global shortage of microchips. The strategy seeks to rally an alliance of nations fighting for an edge in semiconductors.
And manufacturing across Asia powered ahead in February, with most PMIs clocking in above 50. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Japan recorded its strongest reading since 2018, with the index at 51.4. Indonesia, the Philippines, and Vietnam all remained above 50. And in China, the Caixin Index of private companies came in at 50.9. And in other data out today, South Korea's exports rose for a fourth consecutive month, shipments fueled in part by strong demand for semiconductors. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the next presidential election is in focus. Donald Trump says he's laying the groundwork for a third campaign, but stops short of outright declaring his candidacy.
We went through a journey like nobody else. There's never been a journey like it. There's never been a journey so successful. We began it together 4 years ago, and it is far from being over.
And Donald Trump spoke before the Conservative Political Action Conference over the weekend in Orlando, Florida.
Politics and Wall Street are set to collide this week with President Biden's plans to toughen financial oversight. Gary Gensler, tapped to head the SEC, and Rohit Chopra, the administration's choice to lead the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, face questions from Senate Banking Committee members at a hearing tomorrow.
There's a new boss at the helm of Citigroup today, and we get the latest with Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Jane Fraser takes her seat as Citigroup CEO just as the firm approaches hard deadlines and faces tough challenges. Her to-do list includes overhauling controls to satisfy regulators and reshaping operations for the third largest U.S. bank around the globe. Fraser will also need to meet environmental and workforce diversity goals. This is all as she guides the firm out of a pandemic that's forced many employees home and eroded earnings revenue. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. The world's largest retailer is taking a step closer to creating the bank of Walmart. We get the story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Yeah, Nathan, Walmart is luring a pair of senior bankers from Goldman Sachs to run its financial technology startup. This is seen as a precursor to Walmart filing an application to become a bank of its own. Although a Walmart spokesperson denies that, the CEO, Doug McMillon, told analysts just weeks ago that customers have been asking for affordable financial products. With 5,300 stores across the U.S., Walmart would instantly have a consumer base and network of branches to rival J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And lots of banking news today and much more to come. Join us later in the day for a conversation with Jamie Dimon. The J.P. Morgan Chase CEO sits down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
And one final news item from the weekend. Warren Buffett may not have made any splashy deals in 2020, but he didn't sit on the sidelines either. Berkshire Hathaway repurchased a record amount of stock last year, totaling nearly $25 billion. It also almost doubled its volume of buying and selling other stocks. Berkshire's still sitting on more than $138 billion of cash.
Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 40 points. Dow futures up 301. NASDAQ futures up 177. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:07 now on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York is now headed toward an independent investigation of sexual harassment allegations against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Governor Cuomo acknowledges what he calls insensitive behavior that was interpreted as unwanted flirtation and says he will cooperate with the investigation. State Senator John Brooks says the plan now is to have Attorney General Letitia James hire an independent investigator.
I think in fairness to everyone, I think we had to have an independent person make the investigation. So we're moving in that direction now. I think that's important to do.
He says politics should be kept out. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Senior Republican senators called on President Joe Biden to keep the U.S. out of the nuclear deal with Iran, joining some Democrats who voiced reservations about the agreement. Five GOP lawmakers said in a letter that the agreement signed in 2015 by Iran and six world powers, including the U.S., remains riddled with problems and sets timelines that are unrealistic now. In Myanmar, defiant anti-coup protesters took to the streets today. Yesterday, security forces opened fire and made mass arrests as they sought to break up protests against last month's military coup. A UN human rights official said at least 18 people were killed and 30 wounded. Nomadland has won the Golden Globe for Best Picture in the drama category. The film, a major candidate for Best Picture Oscar, took home two Globes last night. Director Chloe Zhao, who is Chinese, became the first woman of color to win Best Director and only the second woman in history to take that prize.
For everyone who has gone through this difficult and beautiful journey at some point in their lives, this is for you. We don't say goodbye. We say see you down the road.
Meanwhile, Netflix and Walt Disney won 15 of the prizes handed by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. And it is now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashire.
Good morning, Nathan. The Knicks' 18th win of the season. Just 2 years ago, they won 17 all year, lost 65. They were the worst team in the NBA. Right now, they are 18-17. There are 15 teams in the Eastern Conference, and the Knicks have the fourth best record. The improvement due mostly to their defense on display last night in Detroit. Pistons shot only 38%, made only 9 of 32 three-pointers. The Knicks shot 51%. 50 from three. They won 109-90. Julius Randle, 25 points. R.J. Barrett added 21. Coach Tom Thibodeau liked the weekend.
Good back-to-back travel. Get in late. Ball goes up. Let's be ready to roll. And just find a way to get it done. And that's what he did. That's the type of mental toughness you need. You need physical toughness. When you play a team like this, it's very aggressive. You got to match that intensity.
Pistons are 9-25. Tougher game tomorrow for the Knicks in San Antonio. At the Garden, Bruins, who the Rangers had just beaten 6-2, came back and beat the Blue Shirts 4-1. Washington, on an Alex Ovechkin goal, topped the Devils 3-2. The Islanders with a 2-0 shutout win over Pittsburgh. The Yankees' exhibition opener in Tampa was a 6-4 loss to the Blue Jays. Michael King got the start. He's in contention for that last spot in the rotation. He gave up three runs. The Mets have their opener today. 24-year-old Colin Morikawa, who won the PGA Championship last year, won the World Golf Championship Workday Tournament in Bradenton, Florida. He shot 18 under par and won by three. And he joins Tiger Woods, the only golfers under the age of 25 to have already won a major and a WGC event. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Right now, looking risk on. Equities higher across the board. Right now, S&P futures up 40 points or 1%. Dow futures also up 1%. They're up 297 points. NASDAQ futures up 178 points, a gain of 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.42%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. And Johnson & Johnson shares in the pre-market higher by 3% as a third COVID vaccine from J&J set to roll in the U.S. We'll talk about it next with Gigi Granval, professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and global stocks are rallying while treasuries are stabilizing in a sign of confidence after last week's bond market turmoil. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 38 points, Dow futures up 288, NASDAQ futures up 175. The DAX in Germany is up 1%, 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.43%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25%, up 76 cents at $62.26 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.75%, up $13.50 at $17.42.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2047 against the dollar. British pound 1.3974. The yen 106.69. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. is ready to deploy its third weapon in the fight against COVID-19. Doses of Johnson & Johnson's single-shot vaccine begin shipping out today. More than 49 million Americans have already gotten at least one shot of the Moderna or Pfizer vaccines. President Joe Biden is planning a virtual meeting with Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Today's meeting is a chance for them to talk more fully about migration, the coronavirus, and economic and national security issues. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Celtics beat the Wizards in a close one, 111-110. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Bruins skated past the Rangers 4-1. The Devils lost. The Islanders won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We now turn to the latest on the pandemic with that third vaccine now shipping out across the country from Johnson & Johnson. Joining us is Gigi Granvall, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and a professor at the Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. It's good to have you with us this morning, Professor. Thanks so much. What impact do you see the Johnson & Johnson shot having as we continue to try to ramp up the vaccine rollout in this country?
Sure. Johnson & Johnson is really, it's really exciting because it's one dose and it's a lot easier to distribute. And it's the demand right now far outstrips supply of the vaccine. So it's a very welcome addition to the stockpile.
Of course, as we've been reporting, only about 4 million vaccines are going out initially, vaccine doses of Johnson & Johnson. Do you expect that to ramp up fairly quickly? What do you think is keeping it from being rolled out even more swiftly?
Yeah, they've said that there are some problems at their new manufacturing plant in Baltimore. The original doses were made in their Netherlands plant. Hopefully they'll get up to levels that, you know, adhere to the contract that they have with the U.S. government.
Do you have any concerns like the ones that have been expressed by Dr. Fauci that people, when they hear the different efficacy numbers between the Johnson & Johnson shot and the ones from Pfizer and Moderna, I mean, you know, 90%+ efficacy on the two-shot options is pretty amazing. And when you hear slightly lower numbers, that people might hesitate to get the Johnson & Johnson version?
Yeah, that's a concern, but it's really hard to compare these vaccines directly. The trials weren't done in exactly the same way that would invite comparisons. They were performed at different times, and so it might be that the Pfizer and Moderna wouldn't be quite as stellar if they had to deal with the variants that emerged since those trials were completed. And it does look like the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has increased efficacy when you wait longer periods of time. So 3 or 4 weeks after vaccination, the efficacy rates continue to climb, which might be a reason for preferring that one. It's a more traditional way to make vaccine as well, so that might be a benefit for some. But it's all the vaccines are 100% effective so far in preventing hospitalizations and deaths, and that's a pretty stellar number.
What do we know about how effective the Johnson & Johnson shot is against some of these newer variants, like the ones that we're hearing about out of Brazil or even California and New York City?
Yeah, so the vaccination efficacies are kind of the variants are a little bit baked into the numbers with the Johnson & Johnson because the trials were performed there when those variants were around, but maybe not at the same levels as they are today. So I think, you know, right now it's looking like all of the vaccines are still very protective against the variants that we know about, and that includes the Johnson & Johnson.
When we look at the latest hospitalization and case count numbers, it seems as though the drop off that we'd been seeing over the last couple of weeks is leveling off some. What's your concern that things might be starting to not go as quickly or getting ahead of the pandemic as we might have thought a couple of weeks ago? Do you have that concern?
Yeah, there's so many factors that could be at play here. Their testing is down, so it could be that resources are being directed to vaccinations over testing, but we have had a 30% drop in testing for across the country. Then there's also problems where people might think, well, I'll just get vaccinated. More people are vaccinated, it doesn't concern them as much. Maybe they see the end in sight. There's a lot of pandemic fatigue. There's a lot of factors going on, plus the variants that are maybe more transmissible that might push things in the wrong direction. But overall, this is a really good news time. The vaccines are showing really great efficacy, and looking at other countries, we're going to hopefully see some of the great drops in mortality that have been seen in the UK and in Israel.
Only about 30 seconds left here. Once people do get vaccinated, are they still going to need to do those things that we've heard about for so long, distancing, masking, and all that?
Yeah, people can be a little bit more relaxed when they're with other vaccinated people, but vaccines are a training program for your immune system. They're not like a bug zapper that keeps viruses away from you. So if you get infected, you might not even know that you're infected, but you might be able to transmit it to others. It doesn't look like it's as you need to worry about that so much, but if you're around vulnerable people, please take precautions. So there's less community transmission.
I'm certainly hoping that light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter now. Gigi Granvall, professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, thank you as always for your insights. And the Hopkins School is supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures up 37, Dow futures up 284, NASDAQ futures up 160 points. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rallying and bonds are rebounding as we kick off a new month. Stimulus efforts remain in focus as President Biden calls on lawmakers to quickly approve his aid package. The measure passed the House early Saturday and now heads to the Senate.
We have no time to waste. If we act now, decisively, quickly, and boldly, we can finally get ahead of this virus. We can finally get our economy moving again.
Looks like a proposal to hike the minimum wage will not be in the bill. Senate Democrats are shoving the plan over concerns it won't get all 50 members of the party on board.
Meantime, the Biden administration has started shipping almost 4 million doses of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. That's after the CDC formally recommended it for adults. Dr. Anthony Fauci says Americans should not pick and choose when it comes to a vaccine.
We have three highly efficacious vaccines that are safe. That's the bottom line.
And so far, the U.S. has administered more than 76 million doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Plenty of news on Wall Street this morning as Jane Fraser takes over as Citigroup CEO. Her to-do list includes overhauling controls to satisfy regulators, reshaping operations around the globe, meeting environmental and workforce diversity goals, and guiding the firm out of the pandemic.
And Walmart looks like it's getting into the banking business. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, the world's largest retailer, has hired two senior bankers from Goldman Sachs to run its fledgling financial technology business. It's seen as a precursor to Walmart applying to become a bank of its own. Analysts say the competitive risk to existing banks is profound. Walmart would instantly have a consumer base and network of branches to rival J.P. Morgan. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And a programming note, please join us later today when we speak exclusively live with J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon. Stay tuned for that conversation coming up at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on both Bloomberg Radio and television. And futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 37 points. Dow futures up 273. NASDAQ futures up 159. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 1.44%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 73 cents at $62.23 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.7%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has issued an apology after another former aide has come forward with accusations of sexual harassment. Bloomberg's Renita Young reports.
A second former aide accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo prompts him to agree to an independent probe by a special investigator. In a Saturday New York Times interview, 25-year-old Charlotte Bennett accused Cuomo of asking her questions about her sex life and other intimidating behavior. Cuomo has denied both claims. In a statement on Sunday, he said interactions he considered, quote, playful, may have made others uncomfortable. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Congress is beginning debate on the biggest overhaul of U.S. elections law in a generation. Legislation from Democrats would touch virtually every aspect of the electoral process, striking down hurdles to voting, curbing partisan gerrymandering, and curtailing big money in politics. Former President Donald Trump called for Republican Party unity when he returned to the political stage for the first time since losing the White House to Joe Biden. Trump closed out the Conservative Political Action Conference in Florida yesterday. He told attendees that he is sticking with the GOP.
I am not starting a new party. That was fake news. Fake news, no. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Let's start a new party and let's divide our vote so that you can never win.
Trump also criticized those who supported his impeachment. More protests today in Myanmar. It comes after security forces yesterday opened fire and made mass arrests as they sought to bring up protests against the military seizure of power. A UN human rights official said it had credible information. At least 18 people were killed and 30 were wounded. That would be the highest single-day death toll among protesters who are demanding the elected government of Aung San Suu Kyi be restored to power after being ousted in last month's coup. About 1,000 people are believed to have been detained Sunday. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Antony Blinken, have condemned the violence. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, let's get the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Knicks fans have been waiting a long time for a team that's about to hit the halfway mark of the season and has an over 500 record. Hasn't happened since 2013. In Detroit, Knicks beat the Pistons 109-90. Third win in a row, seventh in the last nine, improves their record to 18-17. That's one more win than they had in the entire season just 2 years ago when they had the worst record in the NBA. Right now, they have the fourth best in the East. Julius Randle last night scored 25 points.
Honestly, in our locker room, it's expected. I said it all year. We feel like every time we go out, we have a chance to win a game. That we're going tonight to have a chance, and we're going to win a game. So I'm not really surprised where we're at as a team. We have a certain level of focus on a night-to-night basis that gives us a shot every night.
Knicks play tomorrow in San Antonio. That's where the Nets play tonight. Before the Knicks moved over 500, the Rangers tried to get there. They lost at the Garden to Boston 4-1. The Devils were also attempting to reach the 500 mark. They lost to Washington 3-2. The Islanders with a 2-0 shutout win over Pittsburgh. The start of exhibition baseball. Sunny day in Tampa. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 6-4. Mike Tauchman homered for the Yanks. Tiger Woods, of course, always wears a red shirt and black pants for the Sunday final round. So many golfers with Tiger in their thoughts after last week's car crash. Did likewise yesterday in Bradenton, Florida. Colin Morikawa wanted to, but the clothes didn't arrive in time. He won the tournament by three shots. Irv Cross has died at 81, former defensive back with the Philadelphia Eagles, and part of that CBS pregame show in the 1970s. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Good morning, Dave. I'm sure you're watching Johnson & Johnson after the news over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. And J&J shares are up 3% in early trading. The healthcare company's COVID-19 vaccine was cleared by U.S. regulators after receiving the endorsement of an advisory panel. J&J plans to deliver 100 million doses of the single-shot vaccine by June. They're going to start rolling them out this week. And you're seeing travel stocks rise as J&J begins the rollout. Looking at the airlines, you've got American up 3% in early trading, Delta up 2%, United up 3.5%. Then you turn to the cruise lines, you see Carnival higher by 6%, Royal Caribbean up 3.5%, Norwegian up 5%. So people looking forward to travel returning as the vaccine gets rolled out, along with the ones from Pfizer and Moderna.
Another sign of optimism potentially getting baked into the market there, Dave. What about Berkshire Hathaway? How's it doing after Warren Buffett's letter to shareholders?
Up 2.5% in early trading. You know, Buffett's company disclosed over the weekend that it spent $24.7 billion on stock buybacks last year and another $4.2 billion this year through mid-February. And at the same time, Berkshire ended last year with $138 billion of cash. So room for more deals or buybacks or whatever Buffett wants, basically. Walmart's up 1.5%. The retailer is bringing in two senior bankers from Goldman Sachs to lead its push into the banking business. They're the head of Goldman's consumer bank, Omar Ismail, and one of his top lieutenants, David Stark. Palantir Technologies up 6%. The maker of data analysis software is higher after tumbling last month by 32%. You know, the February decline is the biggest for any month since Palantir's shares began trading in September. Flip side, Fisker down 2.5%. The electric car developer was lower after soaring last week by 58%. Now, Fisker had surged after reaching a deal to work with China's Foxconn, which puts together Apple's iPhone. On the earnings front, you've got Dentsply Sirona up 2.5%. The dental product distributor's earnings and sales forecast for this year beat analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey. We're expecting results shortly from the drug distributor Perrigo and the power producer NRG Energy. Now, NRG's fourth quarter results may be overshadowed by any commentary tied to last month's deep freeze in Texas. One of its peers, Vistra, dropped 24% on Friday after estimating the storm's toll may reach $1.3 billion. And, of course, we got to have a blank check deal to talk about. Vector Acquisition up 25%. The company's near a deal to merge with U.S. New Zealand startup Rocket Labs USA, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Thanks for keeping us up to speed. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. And taking a look at stocks as a whole, moving higher around the world. S&P futures up 39 points. Dow futures up 285. NASDAQ futures higher by 177 points. That's a gain of just about 1.4%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are jumping this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now after Friday's Dow and S&P sell-off. Dow futures currently up 289 points. S&Ps are up 39. NASDAQ futures rise by 170. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.44%. Gold is up by 8. And Japan rose 2.4% overnight. Well, European markets are also in the green this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, construction spending and ISM manufacturing. In the retail space, Walmart has hired a pair of senior Goldman Sachs bankers to help lead its new fintech startup. In other news, China still has major concerns about Boeing's 737 MAX. AstraZeneca raised about $1 billion selling its Moderna stake, and the U.S. began distributing almost 4 million J&J COVID doses. Wrapping things up, Apache was cut to market perform at Bernstein, and CME Group raised to market perform over at KBW. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo acknowledged for the first time that some of his behavior with women had been misinterpreted as unwanted flirtation. Cuomo said he would cooperate with a sexual harassment investigation led by the state's attorney general. Anti-coup protesters took to the streets of Myanmar today, a day after the U.N. said said at least 18 people were killed in the deadliest crackdown yet by security forces since last month's military coup. In Hong Kong, 47 pro-democracy activists will be in court today charged with conspiracy to commit subversion under the national security law imposed by Beijing. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Celtics beat the Wizards 111-110. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Bruins skated past the Rangers 4-1. The Devils lost. The Islanders were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. now that three vaccines have been approved against COVID-19. Johnson & Johnson's one-shot option doesn't have quite the efficacy of Pfizer and Moderna, but Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institutes of Health tells ABC's This Week, people shouldn't pick and choose.
If I were not vaccinated and I was going to go into a clinic and they said, hey, we have J&J now, or you can wait 3 weeks or so to get another one, I would take the one that is available to me now.
Meantime, President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill is headed to the Senate after passing the House with no Republican votes. GOP Senator Rob Portman was also on This Week.
There are a number of things in here that have nothing to do with COVID relief. There's $100 million for an underground transit system in the Silicon Valley. There's a bridge in New York. There's hundreds of millions of dollars for the arts and so on. There's things that have nothing to do with COVID that are unrelated. Minimum wage was one, of course.
But a higher minimum wage won't stay in the bill in its current form. Democrats are giving up on a plan to enforce it through the tax code. Still, Democrat Sherrod Brown tells NBC's Meet the Press.
Democrats are united in raising wages. The corporate elite, the far right elite in Washington have blocked it year after year after year after year. And we're going to make it happen.
The White House is also facing criticism for deciding not to sanction Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman even after linking him to the murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. GOP Congressman Adam Kinzinger tells CBS's Face the Nation Saudi Arabia will face consequences.
I think public accountability is important, and I think there will be some things that we might find out later. It's not going to be like military action or anything, but other areas, whether it's economics or targeted sanctions, stuff like that, that will come out either publicly or behind the scenes in the future. I don't think this chapter's written yet.
Face the Nation, Meet the Press, and This Week can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's get more on what's happening in Washington now on this Monday morning from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Starting with the latest on stimulus, Emily, so much attention's been on whether this $15 minimum wage hike is going to be able to stay in the bill. Will it?
So going into the weekend, we knew that the Senate parliamentarian had blocked an outright $15 raise to the minimum wage, but there was some discussion about whether or not there could be some provision in there to put pressure on companies, particularly large companies, to on their own raise their workers' minimum wage to $15. However, late last night, we're hearing from aides in the Senate that those plans have been scrapped, that there's just concerns about getting the language that all 50 Democrats can agree on in time by that March 14th deadline. So at this point, it doesn't seem like anything on the minimum wage is poised to go through with the larger stimulus package. However, we are keeping an eye on this, seeing how it plays out, because there have been some major concerns among progressives about passing a package that doesn't have anything related to the minimum wage inside it.
Does that raise the question then of whether the stimulus without the minimum wage would be able to pass once it goes back to the House?
There is a bit of a question on that, because we did hear progressive lawmakers last week, like Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, go ahead and say that they were concerned about voting for a package that had no minimum wage whatsoever. And remember, Pelosi has a very narrow margin in the House. She can only afford to lose six lawmakers on any vote. And she already lost two on Friday when the House did a vote on the stimulus with that $15 minimum wage in it.
Something else Wall Street will be keeping an eye on very closely, I'm sure, is Senate confirmation hearings coming up this week for a couple of key nominees.
So on Tuesday, we're going to be hearing from two nominees for President Biden for top financial regulator positions, Gary Gensler to head the SEC and Rohit Chopra to head the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. They're expected to be giving questions about retail investors, gamification of the stock market, a lot of questions that we saw rise up with the recent rise and fall and rise again of the GameStop stock. We're also expecting them to be asked about further Wall Street regulations, cryptocurrency, and even climate change, and what, if anything, can be done from the financial regulation side to continue to promote companies being aware of and investing in solutions to climate change.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Emily, but what's your takeaway from former President Trump's keynote at the CPAC conference last night?
He is leaving the door wide open. I think if there's one takeaway from CPAC, it's that Republicans, for the most part, still do see former President Trump as the head of the Republican Party. And Trump at this point is poised to play a role in 2022 and 2024.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. You can read much more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1. And 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine could protect millions more Americans from contracting the coronavirus. The key will be assuring people the J&J shot is not an inferior option. J&J's overall efficacy appears lower than the two-dose ones already on the market, Pfizer's and Moderna's. Scientists say Johnson & Johnson's vaccine does have its advantages. It only requires one injection and can be stored for months in a refrigerator. Spacewalking astronauts are installing support frames for new high-efficiency solar panels arriving at the International Space Station later this year. NASA says with more people and experiments flying on the space station, more power will be needed to keep everything running. The six new solar panels should boost the station's electrical capability by as much as 30%. And President Biden is urging Amazon workers to vote in an Alabama unionization drive. He says employees should be able to make their own choice about whether to join a union, free from company pressure. Mail-in voting for the 6,000 warehouse workers began in mid-February. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is Monday, March 1st, and currently 6:56 on Wall Street. March is Women's History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is looking back at some of those who played a vital role in American history. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in women's history, in 1912, Isabella Goodwin is appointed the first female U.S. detective. She started in the New York City Police Department as a police matron, overseeing female inmates and cleaning jail cells. But a bank heist made national headlines, and the police department asked Goodwin to step in. She posed as a maid and infiltrated a seedy boarding house. The information Goodwin found out led to the arrest of a gangster named Eddie the Boob Kinsley. The department rewarded Goodwin with a first-grade detective shield. If her story sounds familiar, you might have seen it on TV in the recent TV series The Alienist. Based on Caleb Carr's novel of the same name, Dakota Fanning plays Sarah Howard, who's based on Isabella Goodwin. That's Today in Women's History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 36 points, Dow futures up 262, NASDAQ futures up 151. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.43%, and the yield on the two-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 58 cents at $62.08 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up about 0.7%. Or $11.40 at $17.40.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2041 against the dollar. The yen, 106.70. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg.